What's going on in five?
They're naked in five. Call the authorities. And that's how we begin, man. It's time once again for the Opie Radio podcast. And I've been wanting to talk to Jessica Kirsten forever. Oh, don't look at my notes.
No, I didn't look at your notes. I'm shocked that you just said my name right.
Why?
Because everyone says Kirsten, like I did
or
Big
Kirsten.
J show. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said it the whole time, and I don't correct people because I have such low self-image that I'm like, whatever.
So you're really happy that I said your name right?
Well, it's weird. Oh, I mean, okay. Bill Burr produced my comedy special
coming out.
And he said Kirsten in the special, literally, yeah. And it's out there, and yeah. I didn't even correct.
You know you've made it if Bill Burr's working with you.
Yeah.
After what? You know, you're an overnight sensation, aren't you, Jessica?
God. No, he's like, he saw me perform at Patrice's benefit.
Right.
And he was like, what the fuck happened? I said, I haven't seen you in 15 years.
Yeah.
And I've worked my ass off.
Yeah, of course.
And then he called me out of nowhere and was like, you deserve a special. I want to produce it.
Oh, beautiful.
It was so cool that he did that.
I got scared that you took a peek at my notes because I
can't see anything.
I prepare like Chris Farley. This would actually be kind of funny. Jewish, lesbian.
Yeah. Imagine Kike, Dyke.
Was in a sorority.
Oh, that's
Coach
horrible.
De Niro, sober.
Oh, this sounds so bad.
Went to fat camp. This is all I got. I was molested
in fat camp.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, I say it on stage. If anything is going to keep you fat, it's being molested in fat camp.
Congratulations?
Well, no,
or?
I mean, I asked for because my clothes were tight. But no, seriously, it was.
Oh, my God.
No, it was, I was like 14, 15.
Were
so
you really
it was,
molested?
Well, I mean, I can't say I was molested because yes. I mean, I was a kid, but I was participated in it.
Yeah.
I was a counselor.
Oh, so you wanted.
I wasn't like, why are you, you know, but yeah, I was attracted.
But you were underage.
Yes.
And how old was, wait, it was a he?
Yeah.
So this was before you.
Well, this is why I didn't come out for a long, because I don't like labels. I mean,
right.
I'm married to a woman, but I never wanted to be seen as like a lesbian comic because I've been with men too.
Yeah.
I watch straight porn. Like I'm into both, but I prefer women.
I know you don't like labels, but
no,
would you consider
okay.
yourself a bisexual then?
Yes, but I lean more towards
you lean more toward
women.
Okay.
But now I'm like, oh God. It's a lot.
What's a lot?
Women are tough.
Oh, really?
I love that I'm a woman saying that, but it's a lot. Like, I'm very male in a lot of ways.
Oh, I like that.
So it's hard.
What's tough about women?
I just deal with the whole passive aggressive, you know, what's wrong? Nothing. Like, I'm the, you know, a lot of times the guy in the relationship.
Yeah.
Like, she'll just shut down. I'm like, what the fuck happened? What
right.
did I do? What's...
Right.
You know, it takes a while for me to be forgiven for like little thing. The whole thing.
Okay.
I'm always doing the wrong thing. I'm always.
Yeah.
I'm not cleaning enough. I'm not. I mean, I literally, my friends talk to me, and I'm like, I go through the exact same thing.
Well, I was gonna end with fat camp. See, it's at the end, but now you got to tell.
No, that's a beginning.
I know,
subject.
But now you got to tell the story. So you were 14, and how old was he? How old was the counselor?
I think 30 something.
No.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really fucked up.
I know.
I thought you were going to say like 20, 21, where it's sort of, I don't want to say it's
no,
gray
it
area,
was
but at least it's more within
no,
the
it
range.
Was a problem. It was a problem. I was 14 or 15, yeah. And this has happened to a lot of my friends. Look how sad you look now.
No,
he gave me candy.
I'm not sad. I'm
on his penis. Can you imagine? We put Charleston Jews all over the crotch.
Could you walk me through this?
Yes. So, I mean, I loved fat camp. That's going to, well, probably not your listeners, but there's always girls in the audience that are
no,
like,
I got a lot of, I've changed my ways a little bit.
Yeah.
I got more females that listen to me these
That's
days.
That's good.
It's kind of nice.
It's great. It's,
I kind of like
it's
it.
It's important. You don't want one, I mean, yeah.
In the crazy days of Opie and Anthony, we would do all these like live shows and stuff, and you could count the women on one hand.
I know. I've opened for a lot of guys where it's like, where, and if the women go, they're not even into the comic. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They're doing it for their boyfriend or husband.
Exactly.
But I loved camp. It was that's why when people get upset that I went, I'm like, I had the best time in my life. I really did have fun.
Yeah.
I was with great kids because they were all
fat,
insecure and fat. So they were overly nice because they were fat.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
So what year was this? This had to be the...
A teen year. Like I was...
in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
All right. Because I don't think you could... The reason I asked that is because I don't think you could send your kid to something called fat camp anymore. They would have to name it something else under the guise that they're going away to maybe lose weight and get healthier life.
Overweight. Yeah. Can you imagine overweight camp?
Yeah. Yeah. You can't say fat camp anymore. But
it is fat camp.
I know it is.
And it's fucking amazing. I really try to talk about it on stage, but people get so upset. But do you know how funny it is that every morning at 6 a.m. you're like, dang, 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 and I had a lineup. It was like a line of elephants. Like, we'd hold on to each other's trunks, and we had to walk 3 miles a day.
Really?
Yeah. But you know what? I lost so much weight. Well, they don't. You get hit and whipped. No. They don't. This is the best part. It's in the Berkshires in Massachusetts.
Beautiful.
And my family has a house there. So I grew up going there my whole life. It's a lot of Jewish people from New York and New Jersey who have houses there. So my aunts and uncles, my mom's dad's friends. So they would drive by while I was walking.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And they would just be like, wah. No. I just see like a Mercedes go by my Aunt Barbara. Hi, Jesse.
Right.
So, it was a lot of fun, and I was very into sports. I wasn't even that fat. I honestly think going to that and going to nutritionists and being put on stuff made me a lot heavier.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't even fat. Probably like 10 pounds I needed to lose.
Because it put the thought in your head. And who was it? Was it your mom who felt
it
like...
It was both, but mostly my dad. He's obsessed with weight stuff.
Oh,
he
okay.
is. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, a lot about looks.
Yeah.
In my family.
And was there a goal at fat camp to lose a certain amount of pounds before the end of the summer?
Yeah, and then you had every Saturday you had to line up on a hill in bathing suits.
And get weighed?
Yes, in the cafeteria, you know, in the whatever it's called, the cafeteria.
How humiliating. That's like Biggest Loser.
In the meat in the slaughterhouse.
Yeah. You had to get- You're the best. She's the best.
You know what?
Excited.
If you don't laugh at your life,
of course.
It's sad.
Yes.
I mean, because it was a great experience, but I mean, I'm sure it fucked me up.
Right.
For sure.
But why the bathing suit? That's, you know what I mean?
Well, you try to wear as least as you possibly can to get weighed.
Right, so you weigh less.
Yeah.
So maybe they would leave you alone.
But people would smuggle candy like it was drug deals. Like, hey, I got a, I'll give you two Twizzlers for that Snickers. You know, it was, I'm not kidding.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you got to tell me about the counselor and how that came about.
He was very good looking, and I was a teen and I was insecure, and he was very inappropriate and hit on me, and I ended up fooling around with, I mean, I didn't like have sex with him or anything, but that's what ended up. I think he was thin. So, I mean, years later, I'm like, why did this guy work as a counselor at fat camp? Like, he wasn't even a nutritionist, nothing.
Well, I could explain that.
What?
He was a chubby chaser.
Right, but also molester.
I don't know if that term is okay anymore, but it used to be called a chubby chaser.
But why? So you don't say it if it's not? Do you worry about what you say?
Oh, I'll say whatever.
Yeah, me too.
I got so much money, it don't matter.
Yeah. so does my father.
I think that's why. Like, I just do this for fun now.
I know.
I used to lose sleep worrying about getting fired and worrying about saying the wrong thing. That was more of a joke. But, you know.
It's true. I know what you mean. I'm just like, I don't let people silence me.
Right.
That's why I do this.
Yeah, because I was talking to Mark Norman the other day. Well, it's been a while.
He just texted me.
Oh, really?
I swear to God, when I was coming
Mark.
Up in the elevator. Yeah.
We should invite him to, you know, do a little podcast with us. But
yeah, he's great.
We were talking about stuff, and I said the word tranny, and he went, and he's a comic that's pretty edgy. He's like, you can't say that. And I didn't even know that that's another word we're not allowed to say. I had no idea.
I didn't know that either.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know you can't say tranny. I don't know. I don't know what the right and wrong. I feel like it's all wrong now. I can't.
I feel like as long as there's not hate in your heart,
I agree with you.
It should be okay.
Yeah.
Right?
I do too. There's some words I don't think people should just be, you know, saying in front of kids and stuff.
Sure. Oh yeah, absolutely.
But I still wouldn't tell them not to say it.
Right.
Does that make sense? I could completely believe in free speech, but
I encourage my kids to curse.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't encourage them to curse, but I don't want to be that person, they hear a curse word and I have to shut down everything and explain it. Well, I'm like, it's just words in the end. I go, look, because me and my wife curse a lot. And we don't mean to, and they're always on our case, like, you guys curse a lot of stuff. And I'm like, I don't care if you guys hear curse words, but I do care if you curse, because you will get in trouble at school and
right.
in
they
society
can't do
in general.
It. Yeah.
But I don't want them to think it's such a powerful, oh my God thing if they, you know, let a curse word slip.
It's not. It's not. Yeah. But I think you're right. If there's hate in your heart and you're saying it in like a mean-spirited way, it's not. Right. I don't love it.
Do you know you can't say Irish twins anymore?
No.
That's racist.
Who said that?
Some other person. Might have been Des Bishop. Somebody told me that you can't say...
I feel like I've heard him say that.
Maybe it wasn't him then, but someone said you can't say Irish twins. No, that's racist
saying,
now, too.
I think you can say it.
Really?
He said that to me.
Because I guess that means what? You know what? Irish people fuck a lot?
I have no... Well, yeah. I mean, they're wasted. But when I joke about Jewish people...
Yeah.
Everyone gets upset. Not everyone, but a lot of people besides Jewish people. Like, Jewish people die laughing.
Yeah.
And the non-Jews that probably hate us, I'm serious. They all go, and I'm like, I'm allowed to say this. These are my people. I'm allowed to make, like, they're so fucking stupid.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I just can't follow the new rules.
And then it makes me darker. I literally will talk about the Holocaust for 10 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
I'm not kidding.
The audience?
Yeah. When the whole election thing was going on and everyone was miserable and divided,
yeah.
I had the band at the Comedy Cellar for months bring me up to the Schindler's List.
Oh, my God.
They learned the pianist, the boy with the striped pajamas. Went up to rap music and like AC/DC. Sure. And it was like, wah, wah, like these horrible Holocaust songs.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was like, fuck it.
Well, that takes the piss out of everything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So get back to the counselor. I need to know some of the details.
I remember he would you know what? He wanted to meet me like every night and I would be too afraid. I do remember that. I don't remember a lot because I was such a drug addict, but I...
At 14, you were a drug addict?
No. I mean, I did... When I wasn't in camp, I started smoking pot and drinking at 13.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Ew. Then you think about your kids, you're like...
Yeah, they're right around the corner from all that stuff.
I know.
See, I grew up in a very strict household, so if we came home drunk or stoned, all hell would break loose.
Really?
So it scared us enough to not do that. So that's probably the only reason, like, I had a late start and all that stuff.
What, college?
Yeah, man. I didn't get high until I was in college.
Oh, I did.
I didn't start drinking until I was, like, 17. We really weren't allowed to date.
Really?
Yeah. So I went hog wild when I went to college.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because the opposite happened.
Like, of course.
Now I'm free. I'm in Geneseo. I'm like 6-7 hours from home, and I didn't know what to do with myself.
Oh, that must have been unbelievable.
Drinking 7 days a week, joined a fraternity.
Me too. That's what I did.
Having sex whenever I could.
Yeah.
Like,
it's crazy.
So whatever my mom was trying to accomplish, it didn't work.
That's what they did with food. That's why I tell people don't hide food from your kids. Let them eat what they want. I mean, I know when they're really young, the sugar and shit, but like have stuff in the house, because if you don't, they're like, I like rob my friends' houses.
Yeah.
I put a stocking over my head and would like take. I'm not kidding. In the middle of the night, I would just like go to their snack drawer and attack it.
Yeah.
Because we had no food in the house.
I grew up one of 7 kids, sometimes 8, sometimes 9. We got to get into our family lives because
that's
where I can relate to you.
Yeah.
With the mom that's a little nutty and all that. And we had no money. So I made friends with people that had like Wonder Bread and soda.
Yeah, me too.
And I would go over to their house and have like a Wonder Bread peanut butter.
You didn't have money for Wonder Bread.
No, we had Pepperidge Farm.
Oh,
the bread that was in the bin because it was almost old and they were going to throw it in the dumpster was like the last stop before the dumpster.
Right.
That's the bread my mom got.
Yeah, I ate rotten food a lot. I smell
bruised apples?
Everything. Of course, bruised apples. My mother, when she would drive carpool for Hebrew school, she would hand all the kids like an apple that looked like she ran over it with the car. Everyone else gave out all these amazing things. And my mom, it was so embarrassing.
But this was stuff the supermarket used to do. There was a fruit section and the bruised apples were less money.
Oh.
So, so that's what I'm
trying to
tell you.
I know. I was very neglected.
And what about the cans? The dent cans without the labels. And it was like kind of a surprise when you came home, like, oh,
do you want
to?
I used to pour sugar on bread, like, I would take whatever was in the house.
Well, no, my grandma had a beach house in Wading River. I know you live on Long Island, and I have so many cousins on one side, like 20 something. So our lunch was margarine sandwiches with sugar poured over the top.
I used to eat that all the time. Sugar, and but I know, right? It's so good.
I'm gonna move on from the fat camp, I guess. But
I mean, I remember him. Like, it was started with just, you know, you want a massage. That's how it started.
I guess the only question I want to ask is, were you mentally scarred from that?
I'm sure I was, but at the time I was just like, whatever. Like, I never dealt with things at the time. I still have a hard time with that.
Right.
You know, I like can go through something and then months later,
yeah,
it starts affecting me. And I'm like, oh, wait.
Right.
I never dealt with that situation.
Well, because I'm thinking, and this is, you got to be careful how you say this stuff. But when I was like 14 or 15, we all were dreaming of having sex with our, you know, the female teachers, the hot female teachers.
Well, yeah.
And if that happened, I don't think I would be mentally scarred. But then if my son came home at 14 and confessed to me that he just had sex with his, 30-something-year-old teacher, I would lose my mind.
I know. I don't know. I knew it was inappropriate.
Right.
But I don't know if I was mentally scarred at the time. I mean, over the years in my life, other things happen.
Yeah.
So that became a little more intense for me.
Sure.
But at the time, I wasn't like freaking out or upset about it.
All right.
I didn't even think twice about it.
Yeah. We got to move on to, so your mom's a therapist.
Yeah.
And what I find fascinating about you is that not only was she a therapist, she did it at the house.
She saw, it is fascinating.
I think it is.
She saw clients in the basement of our house my entire life. So I had to be quiet every day.
Yeah.
And she was helping the world. I mean, she was like a huge therapist, but we were struggling a lot.
Yeah.
So that's very common with kids of therapists where they're helping so many other people and the kids are like, hello.
Oh, so they're too busy helping the world.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
And then the kid is like just running wild out there.
So, and there were no cell phones or anything. So the clients would just come to the house and a lot of times she would forget they were coming. I have the funniest stories. You're not even, I mean, it's so, a woman once came to the house and she's like, okay, I'm here to see Elaine. So I took her down to my mom's office.
Yeah.
And my mom told me that this is amazing. My mom told me that an organizer was coming. She always has organizers, feng shui people. You know, she's like, it's like the Fockers, like the Barbara Streisand. That's my mom. Like,
oh, no kidding.
Totally hippie. So this woman came and I took her down to the basement. I was like, okay, she wants you to clean out this closet, do all the, like I start showing, handing her plastic bags. She was my mother. Like just, it was like a constant sitcom of just people in the house. And I would like cater to them because my mom wouldn't show up. She wouldn't even write down when they were coming. So they'd wait for hours.
And you would just have
And I always felt bad for them.
So you would have to entertain them.
Oh yeah, I'd be like, do you want anything to drink? Do you want, I mean, I was so angry.
Would you mess?
I was such an angry kid.
Would you mess with their mental illness?
Could you imagine? Hello? Like just go in the other room. Your father hates you.
Right. But were you ever scared with people coming through? I mean,
she would do groups. Like on weekends, she would do like a bonding weekend. Like these people with no shoes on would just be walking around the house, these strangers. It was crazy.
Wow. That's where we're kind of similar. My dad wanted to help the world. So he would bring people home from the local bar and then they would be tenants because my mom was always worried about money. So as we slowly started moving out of the house, you know, seven of us, eight, sometimes nine, we were always bringing in people. I have she was a sister for like 4 or 5 years. One day this girl, Karen, is living with us and she has kind of like strawberry blonde hair like the rest of us. And my parents, she's 16 years old, introduces us as, this is your sister. I'm like, what?
Oh, at 16.
Yes, and it turned out that my older sister, it was her good friend. And Karen's father was remarrying. And the new woman said, it's either me or your daughter. And the guy picks the new wife over the daughter. So she had nowhere to live. So we dragged her in and they labeled her one of my sisters.
That's incredible.
Instead of like, look, this is Karen. She kind of needs a place to stay. Like, you know, we did cement work all around our house and we put the initials in for eternity, basically. And her initials in there as one of us.
Do you still talk to her?
No, because my mom, like, is just batshit crazy. So Karen couldn't get along with her. So one day I remember being in the kitchen. Oh. I'm just a kid. I can't be more than 12, maybe 13. And Karen's in tears, and a white pickup truck pulls into the driveway. Maybe I should talk to your mom about this.
You should. I've had that too. It's an abandonment thing.
Yeah, and they load the truck. It was her boyfriend. She hugged us all goodbye.
That's crazy.
I've never seen her again.
But I don't judge anything because my life has been it's also been insane.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but that's like, this is your sister, and then she's gone one day.
Right, and then, you know, she basically said, fuck this shit, I can't take it anymore, and she left.
She'd rather be homeless than live.
Yeah, exactly. And then they just had all these tenants, and some were drug dealers. Like, my mom would go, Greg, why is all my spoons burnt?
Oh, God.
I swear to God.
No, I believe you.
And then some of the rooms had, like, burn marks in the rug. Wow, I'm doing therapy with you now.
That's what happens.
And my mom just had no clue. I'm like, who the hell are you, inviting to live into our home? But she wanted that $200 a week from these people. And then there was another one that stole my twin brother's brand new bikes because they needed money for drugs. There was another one that OD'd in the woods that my brother pretty much saved when he was only 14 or 15 years old. And then
were your parents religious?
We started Catholic.
Where'd you end up?
I mean, I'm spiritual.
No, I know you, no. But like your parents didn't. Oh, were they always Catholic or did they change religions?
Well, I was just talking about this last night, which is funny. So my mom had 6 births in 5 years.
Oh my God.
And the last ones were twins. Okay. And she had all these kids because we'll talk about you again, Jessica.
Yeah,
trust me.
I'm okay.
We'll get back to you. So my mom would call the church. I remember these phone calls, screaming and yelling at the priest. You told me to have all these goddamn kids. Now help me. And then would openly admit that she didn't want all these kids. I was the first one, so I would look at my younger brothers like, she's talking about you guys. You know that, right? Not me, because I was first.
Yeah, that's such a hard thing to hear.
No kidding.
How do I get rid of them?
So she kind of turned her back on the church. And my dad was very spiritual, but not so religious by the end of his life. But then there was a Vietnam vet that came into the house, and he would have flashbacks. And then,
it's just interesting she would bring all these people in that it wasn't safe for the kids because she didn't really know them, obviously, and they were drugged. I mean,
we weren't safe in front of my mom.
Yeah.
I know. What are you talking about? Right. She understood crazy. So to her, she would have all this small talk in the kitchen with these people, and we're all looking around like, what the fuck? One of us is going to die.
Yeah. That's scary.
And then she had, just so I could finish this, and I apologize, I didn't think we were going to talk about this. Then there was a tenant that thought my brother worked for the CIA and kept going to my mom like, he works for the CIA. What is he doing here? Am I getting arrested? And this guy just wanted a room, and my brother would come by just to, you know, do things around the house and stuff. So my brother's in the attic, and this guy's in his room, and my brother puts his foot through the ceiling. And he goes, oh, man. And he pulls his foot up. And there's the guy that thinks he's in the CIA looking up and goes, I told you were in the CIA. Oh. My brother's looking down from the attic after putting his foot through the ceiling. And then finally, it all ended one day. The Suffolk County police come to my parents' house. And this was my dad died in front of the house we grew up in. You know, we got the house when I was 5, and a horrific car accident in front of my house took out my dad. So then my mom's still living in this house. And the Suffolk County police come by and go, do you know blah, blah, blah? And my mom goes, yeah, of course. He's a very nice man. He lives upstairs. He pays his rent on time, all that, right?
He's a very nice man. The guy's a mass murderer.
So the cops go, well, he's dead. He decided to pull his car up on the tracks in Greenlawn, and he got run over by a train. And that was...
This proves the point to me that you never know someone's story.
Yeah.
It's really true.
Yeah. And then they went up to his room, and he had the suicide note. It was all planned.
Wow.
And I think he left a note on his car as well, and... And that was finally it for the tenants. Now I could sit back and go, how are you, Jessica?
Well, no, what I'm saying is like as a comic, yeah, a lot of times for years, I would look at the audience and be like, this guy doesn't like me, this guy. Like, and then I realize, oh my God, people have their stuff. Like yeah, maybe he went to a funeral today. I don't know what
yeah,
people are
of course,
going through. So I stopped taking everything so seriously and it really changed it for me.
For real?
Yeah.
Because
I don't take things as seriously anymore.
Because some of your videos online where you're dealing with hecklers, you are like probably one of the best at dealing with hecklers.
I am. And I'm not, like, I really have dealt with it so many times that yeah, I warn people now. I'm like, I'm just letting you know that, like, this is not going to end well for you. So I'm
yeah,
giving you a warning.
Yeah, good for you.
But I don't react to people on the phone or if they say something nice. Like, I literally let it go now.
Right.
I'm very, you know, some people, every single thing someone does,
yeah,
they're constantly reacting. And I just, it's a waste of time.
I went through a lot of therapy and I'm all about living in the moment now.
Yeah.
In the present. You know, I try not to worry about the past. I'm not perfect. And I try not to worry about the future. It's
well, you're
all
not
about,
supposed to. You really will be happy if you just try to live in the moment. It's well, very hard.
It's very hard for anybody, you know, but it's the place to be.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I do want to say, I was going to say this and it's bad, but I'll say it differently. I was going to say you're the funniest female comic out there. And
no,
that's,
you can say
no,
that.
No, that's an insult,
I don't
though.
Get, I
but
don't
you
get,
are. But you're one of the, on
thank
top
you,
of that, you're one of the funniest comics out there.
Thank you. Well, you know, I think it was... No, Bill Burr said to me that he's like, I was talking to, I think it was Gaffigan or Brewer. I don't remember who he was talking to, but he said that I'm not a female comic. I'm just a comic. Like
yes,
they don't, I don't think any of those guys look at me as a female comic.
Right.
And I always wanted that. I always appeal to men on purpose. You
yes,
can't just talk about stuff that women go through. It does not work.
I think that's where people have a problem with female comics is when they're just talking about, their overbearing mother, their peer, you know what I mean? It's the same
or their
go-to.
Husband, their boyfriend,
yeah,
being a woman dealing with, yeah, I
but,
know.
But when I've seen you over the years, anyone can relate to you. It's not like you're pushing your agenda toward a female
I think
or lesbian audience.
No,
fact.
In fact, lesbians a lot of times get very offended by me.
Really? Why?
Because a lot of the older, like, butchy lesbians are like, I don't appreciate when you talk about, you know, it's like, again, you can't, don't tell me what I can and can't talk about.
Yeah.
Don't come to my show. Like, I'm not, that's why I do this, is so that I can say whatever I want.
Yeah, of course.
And if you don't like it, don't ever come again. But
right,
the most complaints I've gotten are from, I'd say, older lesbians and a lot of times, of course, like Orthodox people.
Yeah.
People like that who just get very tense, which is a very lonely feeling because they're quote unquote, not Orthodox, but they're my group of, you know, they're my groups
yeah,
that should, I feel like, be
yeah,
supporting
side,
me and they turn on me a lot.
What?
That is yeah,
so
they
weird,
get really overly sensitive and a lot of times about nothing.
Yeah.
It's not even like I'm... You know, I do really good characters, and now even when I do an impersonation of a black person, there's some black comic, like, they go off on me. I'm like, I'm doing a character.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything offensive. I'm doing a character. I do a ton of them.
Well, you said something that's very important in there. You said other comics are giving you shit about that. I hate
sometimes,
that.
Not a lot, but there are a handful that get very... judgmental and
yeah,
politically correct, and it's like,
but
why are you a comic?
Yeah, your own peers, you guys all should be sticking together. It
most
shouldn't
do.
It shouldn't be coming from the comics because you got enough people coming after you out there in the real world, and now comics are getting involved. Like, oh, you can't really do the black voice because you're not black, and you can't
right,
do this because you're not blah blah blah. And it's like, no, man, everything, pretty much anything should go as long as you're funny, right?
Yes, I really believe that as long as it's not mean-spirited.
Right.
It's just, I'm making a joke of something, but it's not, there's no malice behind it at all. That's why it pisses me off.
Yeah.
It's like accusing me of something I'm not even feeling or doing.
Yeah. Have you noticed that has changed over the years?
Oh my God, it's gotten so much worse because of everything going on now.
Right.
So much worse.
That's just too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I love your Jewish lady impression.
Yeah, that's my whole family. It's
really?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I make fun of my own people more than I do anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just, I told a hilarious story yesterday, but it's really true that My grandmother brought 10 people to see me in Florida. It was, the place sat 2,000 people. There were probably 400 people there. It's a big, you notice it a lot when there's 400 people.
Right.
And they're 90, 100. I mean, it's insane how old they are. I'm in South Florida. And Sarah Silverman's father came. This is so random. She's like, my father's coming to your show in Florida. I'm like, I don't think that's the show he should really come. Because I knew it was going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
And then I had some sorority sisters there from University of Maryland. And my grandmother brought 10 people from her development in Florida. This is a great story. So I go up and eat my ass. When I tell you, it was by far, it's to this day, one of the worst five shows I ever did. People walked out. I didn't get one laugh. I couldn't get out of it.
Yeah.
I tried everything. And then I get off and I say to Greg Rogel and Dan Natterman and all these guys, I'm like, that was horrific. And they're like, whatever, it wasn't that bad. You know, they wouldn't acknowledge it.
Right.
And then my sorority sisters came back and they're like, that was so funny. We loved it. I'm like, am I on acid? Because that was horrible. I mean, that was bad, like really bad. Then Sarah Silverman's father comes back and he's like, oh, it was good. You did a good job. You were funny.
Yeah.
My grandmother walks in with these, like, I don't know, 9 or 10 old Jews, and they all stand in a circle around me, like a half circle. And she, none of them are even smiling. And she looks at me and she's like, that was horrible. What the hell happened to you? You embarrassed me in front of my friend. And I hugged her. I was like, thank you for being honest.
Right. You wanted to hear that.
I love the honesty of old Jew, you know, like, what's with that makeup? You're disgusting. Like, I feel like they're the only honest people on earth.
No, it's little kids and very old
people. That's what I always say. I've been trying to write a bit about it because it's true.
Oh, my God.
Kids will be like, you're fat.
Yeah. Oh, and they'll point out everything that's wrong with me. I'm like,
well, your skin is ugly.
Yeah, look at the right. You got boobies. I'm all right. I'm working on it.
I know.
I'm like,
Mama, you smell. I'm like, what do I smell like? That's so upsetting.
Right. It's just, we got to work on that, kids, you know?
Yeah.
So, but you were with a lot of men before you came out of the closet?
Yeah. And when I went to Maryland, I was in the fraternity sorority thing. So
that's another thing.
I drank pitchers of beer a night and went to parties and. Yeah, I never minded sex with men. I just couldn't fall in love with a man. That's really the truth.
Right.
It's not that I didn't enjoy the sex. I just
couldn't. You know, the emotional
connection. I tried to date and get serious, and I just always just wanted to be with my friends.
But isn't it hard
But most of my closest friends are guys. Like, I relate to men a lot.
But isn't it hard to be connected emotionally in college anyway? Between like, all the partying and...
I know some people meet in high school and stay in love. I'm like, what?
Right.
I don't even know who you are.
No. How was pledging? Did you pledge when it was really scary still?
Yeah, but it wasn't like guys. It was more emotionally abusive.
Right. In what way?
Oh, I mean, not even abusive.
Like in a mean girl way?
Well, no. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
It was very annoying. Like every time I walked into the house, I had to look in a mirror and like my pledge name was Yogi the Bear.
Oh my God.
So he'd be like, hey, I mean, even if I was in a bad mood, or I had to carry around candy, and if I saw a sister, give it to them. I was just treated like shit.
Right.
But then I was the hellmaster for years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was really into the sorority.
You enjoyed it.
I had so much fun.
Just torturing girls?
Well, I made it funny, but I loved being in a sorority. I mean, it's so embarrassing to say that, but I really love... University of Maryland is such a big school.
Yeah.
And I feel like it really narrowed it down. I made... Like, they're still my sisters to this day. They come to my shows all the time. I feel like I'm closer to them than I am with friends I made 10 years ago.
Same with my fraternity brothers. It's so weird. Like, you're attached for life.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I talk about pledging on the podcast or my old radio show, and I get scared. Because it was like, you don't talk about pledging. And I'm like an older guy now. And I'm thinking they're going to like.
Yeah, you're going to hit with a paddle.
Something for giving away the secrets of our.
Well, you guys went through
pledging.
Worse, I think.
It was scary. Some of the stuff was really scary.
Yeah.
They would get us really drunk, drop us off. And depending on how much they hated you, you know, every year one of the pledges would end up in Canada. without a license or a passport or anything, and the whole thing was they took everything, your license, money, and and you just had to hitchhike and hope that a serial killer wasn't coming along. It was Geneseo, so it's all like farms and fields
right,
around.
I know exactly. Yeah.
It's really desolate. So I remember they dropped me off in a field with two guys, and I'm like, we're blindfolded, we're high as fuck, and we're drunk, we can barely walk. They really got you messed up. And it was like the middle of winter, and they're like, count to 100 before you take the blindfolds off. And I'm the idiot, like, 1, 2, 3, guys, they're not here. Let's take the blindfolds off, and maybe we could see what direction the car is going in, right? I take that blindfold off. There's a brother 2 inches from my face. Get back in the car! And then the guys I was with, they were mad because now they took us further.
But did they physically do stuff? I mean, I know what you mean. It's more...
It was weird stuff.
Yeah, I know.
It was weird stuff. You know, you want to know one?
Yeah.
We had to bomb the DK house, and that meant getting naked, picking up a marshmallow with our butt cheeks.
Yeah, it was
waddling
a lot of being
across
naked,
a floor,
right?
And then they would say, "Okay, you're over the DK house. Drop the ball." What? I just want to drink a couple beers and maybe, have sex with a sorority girl. What are we doing?
I know. Why is there a marshmallow in my ass?
Right. I'm like, what? What the hell? I mean, and is this like someone just made this up because they're sick, or is it something that the brothers did for years before?
Probably they did it for years. It's a lot.
Well,
of
that's
that.
What they say, right?
Yeah. I mean, I felt like that was a lot of it. Stuff that happened to everybody.
And then they would talk about how one of the sororities was the Egos, and we had a party with the Egos last night, and one of them didn't flush the toilet, and we'd be blindfolded. We'd have to reach into the toilet and make sure the duty went down properly.
I love that you say duty, because that's what my family says. No one said, and you're not Jewish, because most Jewish,
duty's kind of funny. I was trying to go funny.
My grandma would be like, you have to make a duty. Who has to make a duty?
Right.
Or you have to make.
Right.
Who has to make?
Right. And then I learned, after the fact, the way they did it was bananas. But if they didn't like you...
I had to reach in a toilet also.
Okay.
Blindfolded, I remember. Yeah. The minute you said that, I'm like, I definitely reached.
It brought back a memory, right?
Of course, I freaked out.
Yeah.
I was like, what am I squeezing?
And then, but you learn, every pledge class, there's guys they just didn't like. So then there was always one brother trying to get one good log done for that particular thing. So everyone else had the bananas, and the one guy they really didn't like.
Log.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was working on his recipe all week, trying to make sure it was a nice solid one.
But you have to admit, the laughing is like nothing you've ever... I mean, we laughed so much.
I got to say, I was a caddy growing up. So every day I would walk the golf course talking to different people, and I think that helped me become a talk show host.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing, and I haven't really talked about it a lot, I was a fig in Geneseo. We had this back room where everyone would get high, but it was like four couches in a giant square, and everyone would sit in there and just shoot the shit and try to be funny and, try to be interesting and tell stories and stuff. And I think that really helped me as well.
Yeah, it probably did.
You wanted to try to get everyone laughing and stuff in that room. So,
yeah.
But anyway, so when did you decide you wanted to be a lesbian?
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Well, I never wanted to be.
I don't
be,
know how to
this
say
day.
It. I don't know how
it's
to
okay.
Say
I'm
it.
Glad you're asking these questions, because
okay,
people
good.
Don't know. I to this day I wish not... I didn't. That's why when people say, "Oh, people choose it," it's like, why would I choose a much harder life? Because
it
is.
Right.
I live on Long Island. I'm not going to walk around where I live holding hands with Danielle. And she's very attractive.
Wait, on Long Island, you still won't do
no,
that?
No, no way.
Long
it's very
Island?
Very conservative there. It is.
Long Island?
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's certain towns that are... No, I don't think I've ever seen two people of the same sex.
I'm from the Huntington area.
That's different. See, Huntington's a little...
See, but I get confused because, I've been in New York City now since 2002-ish, and you see everything. So
it doesn't even...
You see everything. You don't even
here.
Think twice anymore. So then when you say something like that, you're not even holding hands with your
no,
wife.
No, who I'm married to.
Yeah.
With children.
That's...
No, because it's not... There's no
That
point.
Surprises me.
Yeah. There's no point in doing it, because it's just going to... Why would I want to get looks and... I feel like... and I give people credit that they do it to be kind of like, fuck you, you know, in people's face. Right. Like, you don't want me to, I'm going to do it now. But I feel like I don't just don't even want that attention. And I'd never want my children to get looks or be judged ever.
Wow, you surprised me today. I thought Long Island was a little more open by
now. It's not.
Interesting.
Jersey's more open, I think.
And I'm with you. Why would someone choose that lifestyle? It's a lot harder to go through life.
Oh my God, my wife went through hell coming out. She was like the only girl of four kids, Irish, Catholic, and Italian, you know, A student, master's degree, very pretty, like, you know, she played, of course, softball, first base for St. John's, like, and then she had to tell her parents, it was horrible. Horrible.
Did they take it okay?
Not at first, but they did, and now they're fine. Like, they're amazing to me. But it was much harder for them than my parents didn't care. They just cared because of what I'd have to experience.
Right.
They didn't want me to be judged or ridiculed, or that would be my concern too.
Yeah, of course.
So it's not. I guess. When I was like in my 20s, I just started dating women and
had
been with guys since, but not in a relationship.
You had a girlfriend in college.
It was I was a senior and she was a freshman. It was the first. It's a great story. It's like a soft porn.
Yeah.
Because neither one of us had
Let's
ever.
Let's do it.
Yeah. I remember we like locked eyes. She was very pretty. I always go for feminine. You know, like if I were to be with a really butchy woman, I would be the guy.
Right.
Because they have a dick.
Can I slow you down for a second? So you're in college and you lock eyes and you know, wow.
She was pledging.
Okay.
My sorority.
And you're thinking, wow, I'm really,
right, but I'm not
really
like,
attracted to her. No,
I'm
not
thinking I'm attracted to her. I'm thinking she's so pretty.
Okay.
I didn't think that yet. You know, I was very confused. I was like,
so the feeling,
sorry, she was pretty. No, that's okay.
I'm jumping on you here. I apologize, but it's fascinating to me. So
yeah, it is.
So you were getting these feelings, going, whoa, what's this?
Yeah, and I always wanted to be with her. She always wanted to be with me, and we would literally like sit in my car. I know this sounds crazy, and just stare at each other for hours. It's insane to me now.
That's cool.
It was very cool.
Did you have music on?
Yeah, sometimes. And sometimes it was just silent. And we never wanted to like leave each other's side.
Wait,
but it wasn't a sexual thing.
Would you guys talk in the car or just stare at each other?
I mean, we talked for hours too, but there were times we would just stare at each other.
So it's how bad so did you weird. Want to kiss her at that point?
I did, but I was petrified. I didn't. Right. No one was gay when we were growing. You know, no one was out in high school. That was not something. You knew who was gay because they'd be like, "Hello," you know. But
well, now but you weren't. Now I know.
Right.
Even back then, I didn't.
Were,
but like,
no. But
like, I was on the track team, and this guy was really good at speed walking. Really good.
Heels.
Like really good. Really hippie. I know I'm being very stereotypical. I want to acknowledge that.
I don't get offended.
I'm
by
a big
that
fan
stuff.
Of the gay community. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But I do have to say that. He was so hippie, and I remember thinking to myself, that's really weird.
Yeah,
and that was
I
the only
too.
Indication I had in high school that he might be, I mean, you would say it back then,
with guys,
different.
With guys, I would say that in my head, I'd be like, that guy is very feminine. He must be gay. But with girl, even with a butchy girl, I never thought that.
Right. But fast forward a whole bunch of years, and then you find out he is, and like, oh, okay,
right,
the hips, the speed walking.
Yeah, the hips, amazing.
Sorry.
You can he's sashayed.
You can be gay and masculine, too. I'm
well,
here to
of course. That's the whole thing. Like, I didn't know anything.
Right.
And then we went home for Christmas break. This is a great story. And we drank wine in my house, in my mom's house, and smoked pot, and we were wrestling.
Oh, my
and
God.
I know it's a great story.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And she's
much.
So pretty.
Right.
Gorgeous. She's a therapist also, and so is my wife.
That's crazy.
My brother just did my podcast, and he said, because he's younger, he's my half brother, and he'd be like, when I was in high school, you'd bring home all these hot girls.
Zach?
I didn't know.
Was it?
No, my brother Josh. I have a half brother.
Oh, yeah. You got like.
I have two halves, four steps, and one full.
Yes. Okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
So, but he was like, he would always wonder, like, who are these girls that Jessica would come home with? And then we just made out, and then we both freaked out. We both freaked out. We're like, okay, see you later. Like, It was really uncomfortable.
It scared you.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on.
But did you want more of that at that point?
Of course.
Yeah.
But I was like, what is happening? And who is, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And still for years just said it was her, wasn't women.
Really?
It was just her. You know, that's what a lot of people say in the beginning. Whether she was a man or a woman, I would, you know.
Right.
It so just it was a secret for years. And then when I finally told my parents and my sister, they literally thought I was dying the way I said it. I was crying. I'm like, you're never going to speak to me. I don't know what to do. And they were all like, yeah, we know. My parents, my mom was like, every time Alyssa leaves, you're sobbing. We know she's not your friend.
So you must have been relieved that they took it well, because there's a lot of families out there, unfortunately.
I am so lucky.
Right.
Not only them, my entire family. Right. Not one person. My grandmother, it was a little like, your father, you know, he made you get, you know, because
right.
he would yell a lot and whatever.
Right.
But then she was so incredible with my partners
great.
And my kid, everyone. I mean,
that's awesome.
They would I come from a very cool family that way.
Yeah. Your grandma's a special lady, too, because...
She was amazing.
Because you went to school to be a therapist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then...
I went to NYU for a master's in social work.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then she was... I was sitting with my cousins and my sister, and she was looking at me, and she called me over to her, and she said, you need to be a comedian.
Yeah.
Every time you're with people, they're laughing. And I would have never done it. I was petrified.
How old were you at this point?
29.
Oh, you started that late?
Yeah, I did.
No kidding.
Yep, I was petrified. I was actually vomiting before the show. I was so scared.
The
but
first
I did
time
it.
You went
yeah.
on? Was it an open mic?
No, I did Caroline's. I did like, it was a bringer show. You know, like a graduation show
right.
from a class. And
you're puking backstage?
The day of, I threw up. I was so nervous. I've never been that nervous.
Do you remember that?
Except when I've done stadiums, like... You know, the Dennis Leary one in
yeah.
Boston, or I just opened for Bill in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Those are scary.
You think?
That many people. I get, yeah, just anything I haven't done a lot, I get pretty nervous
right.
about.
I over the years when we were in front of big crowds, I found it easier because it was almost like faceless.
It is faceless.
It was
faceless.
When we would do little things here and there in comedy clubs, like just these people just staring at you.
I
was like,
I know.
Oh my God. So, but you find it the opposite.
I think now, even after I did the one last week, it's a little more comfortable. But I made the mistake of going on stage with Bobby Kelly in Boston and looking at the stadium empty.
Right.
And I should have never done that. It was unreal. Like, the lights were on. I'm like, holy shit.
Right.
You know, I don't know how many seats, 15, 16,000
wow.
or more. I don't know.
Right.
I was freaking out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And That's... plus, when you're performing with guys like that.
Right. No, you can
have
hold
to
your
deliver.
Own. You can
well,
more
right,
than hold
but it's,
your own.
It's more nerve wracking when you're on a lineup with
those
Brewer
those,
and
right.
Lenny Clark and this one and that. You know,
Brewer's one of my favorites.
I think he's by far one of the best comics of all time.
Do you remember? Absolutely,
mm-hmm.
I put him up there on
yeah.
on my top my list of the top guys.
Yeah,
and gals. What I was going to say? Oh, do you remember your first set at Caroline's? Like it happened yesterday.
Yeah,
and did he do well?
I did okay for a comic that did, you know, first show. But
yeah.
when I've seen it, I've died. Like, I'm like, that was
terrible.
Horrific. I'm like, you know when you get gas and you don't trust the guy is giving you as much as you're supposed to get? I mean, it wasn't even jokes.
Yeah.
But I did some characters. I had like 35 family members and friends there. So it was very supportive.
Yeah.
And then I remember doing open mics and being like, what the hell was I thinking? This is not easy.
What was the thing at Caroline's that said, you know what, I tried it? Because a lot of people will try it and then say, fuck
I fell
this.
In love with it the second
but
I was,
was
on
it?
Stage.
Was it the laugh? Did
it
you
was
get
the
addicted
power.
To the power.
Yeah.
Of
It was having a microphone and being above people and being able to say whatever I want.
Right.
It was really a powerful thing.
Right. That's what I loved about doing the radio show.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, this world is nuts. And if I can't tell people how nuts this world is, I will go crazy.
Well, yeah, I feel the same way. I don't talk about politics or any. Me too.
Right.
And I don't do it for a while. I get very down and anxious. Like,
do
it's
you?
It's very therapeutic for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't talk politics, but.
No, not at all.
But there's one thing I do want to bring up. You'll be okay with this. So Robert De Niro recruits you for that movie, The Comedian.
Yeah, he saw me perform and flipped out.
Did he see you when you were...
He saw me at the Cellar.
At the Cellar, and your back was turned to the crowd at that point?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is a brilliant...
Thank you.
I'm surprised no one has ever done that before.
Me too.
No offense.
No, I'm shocked too.
Because I'm like, it's so freaking
There's
brilliant.
People who've tried to like steal it, which it will never work because it's my thing.
Right.
But...
Can you explain to the people basically?
Sure. Well, I do my act, and then when I feel uncomfortable or something doesn't go the way I feel like it should or whatever, I turn my back to the audience and I talk to the wall. Yeah. I kind of bend over and I have a conversation with myself. So it's an internal monologue. Like, it's okay. You know, you're very talented. You work hard. You can eat in the car. No one will know. You know, like that's the other thing. I'm very honest on stage, and I feel like that's the only way to be.
How many years did it take for you to be honest on stage?
A long time.
It does,
a
right?
A really long time.
I'm still trying to find my voice all these years later. Still.
Really?
Yeah. I think I'm getting closer to my true self, finally.
I think the more you work on yourself, the more you find that.
A lot of therapy.
And the truth is, we're all, me too.
And Super Soul Sunday.
Yeah. We're all so.
People basically tell me, will you stop saying that you listen to Oprah Winfrey Super Soul Sunday?
But I love that you do.
That's my church.
I'm very spiritual.
Are
very.
You? Yeah.
Very. Like, if I didn't have that, I couldn't function. I literally, before I do big shows or anything, I'm like, God, just take me out of this.
Yeah. I liked being the rebel and going, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And then the more you get into spirituality, you're like, oh, fuck, it's pretty religious, man.
It is religious because of the God thing, but not you don't have to go into the whole Bible and all that stuff.
It's religion without all the structure.
Right.
Right?
Well, without all the analytical, like people just giving their opinion about it.
How about without all the bullshit?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Right. So back to you turning your back to the audience. And I do want to mention, like, you'll talk about stop eating salads. No one's believing it.
I say, you need to stop eating salads in public. No, it's believable.
Not working.
Everyone knows you go home and fuck your throat with a sleeve of Oreos.
Right.
And then some people get tense and I'm like, it's okay, I keep the wrapper on. It's so insane.
Do people squirm in their seats when you do that sometimes? I know you can't really see,
but you
probably
feel
it. That's
what I mean by I appeal to men. Like, men die laughing when I say shit like that.
Right.
And then if I see people getting tense, I'll go even deeper into it. I'll be like, oh, when I go on porn sites, I put in face fucking brutal. Right. I like look when a woman looks like she's going to die. Like, I will keep going even further and further and further.
Yeah.
Because I can't stand when people get uptight, especially when women do that. It's like.
Especially in a comedy club. You're supposed to just go with it. It's almost like. That's why I hate when people go after comedians and stuff. It's like I almost want to say it's a fantasy world. Like, anything goes in a comedy club. Just because you say this type of stuff on stage doesn't mean you act like this when you walk in the streets in New York City. But for some reason, that line has been blurred.
Oh, people don't get it. Well, I mean, a lot do. But right. There are definitely people who take every single thing you say seriously. It's incredible.
Could you do the oatmeal one, too? I don't mean to request
bits. Oh, no, that's okay.
I don't mean to request.
I turn around. And I'm like, oatmeal's healthy unless you add 6 cups of brown sugar. Then it becomes pie. And you ate 7 pies this morning. You're a fucking animal.
And then she just turns around like, okay, anyway, where
were
we?
Yeah, I love turning around and being like, so
good,
anyway,
man.
And I don't even address it a lot.
Yeah.
And people, of course, there's people dying laughing. And then there's some people who think I belong in a home.
Right.
I mean, you have to understand, like, some people can't go there.
Yeah.
So, like, why is she talking to herself?
Right.
What is she doing?
I got to give you this compliment because since I was a little kid, I would listen to Cheech and Chong records and then Bill Cosby, who I think is a great storyteller. And then I moved on to Carlin and then Kinison and all this. And you feel like, you know, I've been around comedy with the radio show all these years. I feel like I've seen everything. And that is such a unique, brilliant thing that I'm like, wow, something new that no one else thought of before.
That's a huge compliment. It took me years to make it funny. Because I had to realize when to do it. It doesn't work if I'm doing well.
Right.
Like if I'm killing.
Right.
And then I turn around, it never gets a laugh.
So you did it as a defense almost.
Yes.
Like, I'm bombing. What can I do here?
I did it. It's like when I used to teach comedy, I would tell people you need bomb lines.
Right.
Ways to get out of it. Because so many comics will go, keep talking. I'm like, this is not going well.
Right.
So you need to address that it's not going well.
Yeah.
And then I realize it's a way of turning the show around if it's not going well.
Yeah.
Is to say, this is not going, like, just to be honest.
Right. So that leads to De Niro. He saw you actually with your back turned, mm-hmm. and he was getting ready to do this movie, The Comedian. Mm-hmm. And then walk us through that. All of a sudden he...
It was unbelievable. He literally came with Taylor Hackford, who's a huge director. And then I didn't even know... Oh, I knew they were there. So when I turned around, like, it doesn't matter who's here. You're never going to make it. No one's going to help you. And they were I heard them laughing in the corner because it was... You know, anyone who's in the industry laugh at that. I'm like, yeah. Thank God your father has money. You know, you're going to have to like do this. And then I got a call that Saturday. I was in Florida doing a Jewish gig for old Jewish people at my father's apartment. And I get a call at 12 p.m. on a Saturday from Taylor Hackford. Wow. And he's like, hello, Jess, this is Taylor Hackford. I'm like, uh-huh. I have no idea who he is. I don't know who anyone is.
Yeah,
I could give a shit, to be honest with you. So he's like, yeah, Bob and I would like to meet you on Wednesday. And I'm like, Bob who? That's what I said.
Yeah.
And he's like, Bob De Niro. And I'm like, okay, sure. It was so crazy. And I went in.
Did you think it was a prank?
No. I had heard that he was hanging out at the Comedy Cellar. So, and I knew they were making a movie. But I went in and met with them, and like Harvey Keitel walks in and he's like, should I have this kind of mustache? What are you thinking to the director? I mean, it was so surreal. I ended up talking to them for 3 hours. We connected. De Niro and I completely connected, and I was not impressed. Meaning I didn't kiss his ass.
Right.
I don't know why. It didn't even faze me.
You weren't sitting there going...
He was another man to me. I don't know why it never...
Oh, that's so cool.
I think he liked that a lot because I wasn't like being fake or
yeah.
I was... And we talked for a really long time and he hired me to meet with him every morning and teach him how to do comedy and how to use a mic. And they were just going to ask me to do a scene. That was the reason why they wanted to meet with me. Then it ended up, to make a very long story short, I met with him every day at the Comedy Cellar. I taught him. I wrote for the movie. I wrote a lot of it. And I became an associate producer and was in on every scene. He insisted that I was in every meeting.
Wow.
Can you believe this? With the producers who were like, who the fuck is this girl?
Wow.
And he just was like, where's Jessica?
He just trusted
you. He totally trusted me. And... Like, he had to do a intimate scene with Leslie Mann, who I became very friendly with, too. And Danny DeVito. They were all in it. I became friends with all of them.
Amazing.
Edie Falco. Tons of them. And I went into a room with Bob and Leslie alone and told them what to do. So if you see the movie The Comedian, a lot of that is ideas... And I was in his ear the whole movie. So he had a...
I was going to ask you that. They gave him an earpiece.
And I was at a mic. So I was talking through every scene. Like, especially when he was doing stand-up. Like, you know, look at this side, do this, do that. Da, 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 da.
Wow.
So when I watched it, I was like, oh my God, that's my line. I said that. He was... It's crazy.
So there's a lot of...
And then I was in it too.
Right. But there's a lot of improv because you're giving them lines on...
Wow. But that's my thing.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was really...
No, I understand that's your thing, but for someone to trust you enough to allow you to do that is just...
He did, and then he went on... It really hit me when he went on Kimmel and Fallon and all those shows and said my name. That's when I was like, oh my God, Robert De Niro just said my name on... He's like, well, Jessica Kirsten helped me and taught me and wrote for me, you know. And I was thinking, wow.
That's so cool.
And he's now, it's everything comes full circle. My stepbrother is Zach Braff, and he's starring in a movie with him. So the two of them are in New Mexico, and De Niro keeps saying, I love Jessica. You know, she's great.
Do you get a text from him every once in a while? Or?
You know, he is not a texter. He has... I know this sounds so simple. He has so much on his plate. It is unbelievable.
Yeah.
He has 6 kids and he's very involved.
He's one got of a them young is, one, I think.
He has a now she must be 8 or 9. Her name is Helen. He has a very autistic son, like bad, who is away during the week and comes home on the weekends. He has, you know, twin boys. I became friends with his daughter, and he has six, and he's not, you know, he's involved with everything.
Right.
So
that's pretty amazing. I started this by saying there's one question about politics, mm-hmm. and I think I heard you on somewhere. I want to give someone credit, but during the filming of that movie,
yeah.
in the trailer,
he's screaming at the TV
because of Trump.
Screaming.
Can you take me
fucking
through the
asshole piece of shit pussy faggot, like unreal. When he'd have no shirt on, he's in amazing shape. Right. You'd be shocked at how right. cut he is, and he has tattoos and.
Would his veins just be popping and he's pointing at the TV?
Yeah, we'd have to like go over lines and he would just be watching and flipping out. So when I saw that video of him, I was like, yeah.
I
watched it all the time.
Oh, my God. And you guys are trying to get things done. And
he
just
hates
like,
him so much. I mean, it's real.
No, it's no secret. That's why I'm bringing it up. I know.
And then when the movie came out, he was very verbal about that. And it probably affected, you know, there was it trended on Twitter. But not banned. What is it when you what? Yeah, boycott.
Right.
De Niro boycott the comedian.
Right.
So that was tough. The movie just came out.
But that's just.
It was great. It was.
I just visualizing him with no shirt on, kind of with his makeup almost done. Jumping out of his chair.
And this incredible trailer. Like,
beautiful,
unbelievable.
Huh? Wow.
That he custom. It's just unbelievable.
What an experience. That's so cool.
And I would sit in with them a lot and just be like, what am I doing here? Because it was top Hollywood producers and stuff.
Right.
But I learned so much. And another thing I learned is to speak up for myself. The first day I walked into Brooklyn into a diner, he was doing a scene with DeVito, Danny DeVito.
Sure.
And I walk in and I'm a nervous. I never worked on a movie set. And De Niro comes up to me, goes, give me a line for this scene. So I give him a line and he does it. And Danny DeVito starts laughing. So Taylor got furious. He's like, you can't just go and fucking get a line. And he's like, you get at it to me. And De Niro said, if you ever fucking talk to her like that, it was the first day I was there.
Wow.
He's like, I will walk off this. He was very like that.
That's awesome.
He's what you think he is.
Right, of course.
But he's very quiet.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't know you, he's, of course, because he's so famous. I mean, I would walk down the street with him and it's insane. It's the top of the top. There's no.
You can't
who's
go
above
a step.
That?
Yeah, you can't go a step.
No.
But in New York, a lot of celebrities walk around and most don't even notice. Like
a lot didn't notice, but when people did, they freak out.
Right. I've seen a lot of celebrities in my neighborhood over the years. There's only been Yoko Ono when she used to walk around on the Upper West Side. People would follow her, make believe they're not, but all of a sudden there'd be 100 people like a block away, all casually like, I don't think she's noticing that I'm, you know, following her for a couple blocks. And then Keanu Reeves walked down Columbus Avenue once. People would come out of stores to see him walk.
He's that kind of famous. But I mean, De Niro is like.
And he's right up there too,
people
obviously.
Get kind of like emotional when they see him because he's such an icon.
Yeah. And for real, Alec Baldwin, he used to, let's just say he had to come to my neighborhood for something. Let's just say that. And he would walk in the street to avoid people. In the street. Like,
isn't that incredible?
He would rather get hit by a car than deal with the average New Yorker.
Yeah,
everything they say about Alec Baldwin is the truth.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he hasn't punched more people in the face over the years. And then
it's
once,
amazing with his brothers how divided they are. Billy's a great guy.
I had most of them on my shows over the years.
Yeah, I love Billy. I became friends with him on Twitter. He's great.
Right on, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Dustin Hoffman once with flowers, just looking up, looking for an address, like just like lost and confused. And I'm like, that's Dustin. No one knew it was Dustin Hoffman looking for an address with a bouquet of flowers.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of how, you know what? I got very starstruck when Madonna walked into the Cellar.
Oh, wow.
I freaked. That was like,
wow.
If I met Oprah, I would freak out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a huge politician.
Right.
But very few people. I don't know. It didn't faze me.
I used to have Trump call the radio show.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. And we used to make fun of him.
He was funny. I mean, he was funny on
those
shows.
He's great for a radio show.
Right, yeah.
But as soon as, I'll say this, and I know, I try to stay away from the politics as well, but I'll say this, like, as soon as we hung up, we're like, what an idiot.
I know, everyone said that.
I'm like, he just gave us great radio, but this guy's, you know, full of shit and so full of himself. It was so obvious.
You know, that's my biggest
thing.
But
if you say that, then you're a snowflake, a libtard. And then, I lived it. The guy is of himself.
The point is that he gets upset. He gets upset.
Yeah.
Like he went off on the soccer player. Like,
right.
Who cares? I think for comics and actors and actresses, we're like, get over it. I mean, when I read shit.
Right.
That is said about me. Like, yeah. I'll do comedy on TV and someone will be like, I hope she dies.
Yeah, right.
Someone, I made a funny video of me singing in a car. This is a true story.
Ice Baby?
It has, no, that's one of them. But this one has 7.5 million views.
Which one? I don't know if I've seen
it. I think I sang a Jennifer, like, and I'm telling you, like a black woman.
Yeah.
And someone wrote, I hate her so much. I hope she hits a tree and dies on impact. And I swear, like a year ago, there were 25,000 likes. Like, it, there must be like 50,000 now or more.
There's so many angry people.
But
out
what
there.
I'm saying is, it's like if I reacted to every single thing that has been said about, I mean shit. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure you've seen it all.
You think?
So you can't. It makes you look so pathetic.
Right.
You know, I used to go off on people. I used to, every time someone commented, I would go to their page, find the worst picture, and blow it up.
you're,
if you go on my Facebook page, there's right. so many. And I'd be like, I want you to come on my face. Like, horrible. Like, or they're crazy. Like, I would go crazy on them.
Yeah.
And my sister said to me, do you realize how stupid you look? Like, she was honest. She goes, when you respond, it makes you look so much less, like, less than. Like, not...
It's tough, though.
It's very hard, but...
It's tough to just, you know, turn around and try to ignore that stuff.
It is.
I've gotten way better about it.
Yeah, I think we
I went through a period that I was just as bad as everyone else, but now it's just like, I don't want to go play with my kids or go fish or pull my hamstring really bad.
Yeah.
Oh, how's your daughter?
So my daughter, Isabella, she's 3.5, and she was born with heart disease. Crazy. She had open heart surgery at 6 days old.
That's insane.
And she's had three and a stent and a balloon. Insane. She has a very rare heart disease. She was born with one valve.
Wow.
I know. It's crazy. So she has like artificial and damage, whatever. She's doing great. You would never know if you looked at her, except, I mean, she has a ton of scars, but you would never know. But she needs more open heart surgeries.
For what?
A bunch more. Because the tube that she has is temporary.
Okay.
And it's a cow's jugular.
Wow.
And the other valve is very damaged. It's called truncus arteriosus. So it looks like a trunk. It's all mangled and...
Right.
Yeah, and let me tell you, when you go through that shit, it makes everything else so much less important. It's... I don't know. I stopped getting so upset about career stuff. I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
And honestly, the minute that happened, this is weird. Danielle stopped working. She ran a program for teens with addiction issues. She's an addictions therapist. And she stopped working. And I got that call with De Niro. So money-wise, it came out of no... I mean, it was like...
When you needed it.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Because he paid me well.
Right.
And it was just perfect timing. And he was incredibly sensitive to that situation. And comics have been incredible, always wanting to do benefits. And so, yeah, it's something we'll have to deal with for a while. But hopefully, they say when your heart stops growing, you know, in your teens, that's when she won't need as many at all.
So you have another... good 10 years or so.
Oh, I mean, please. A month ago, we had to take her to Long Island Jewish, you know, have her sedated. I can't even tell you. It's like...
You put your life in perspective.
It's horrible. I'm not going to... It's so... You know, you don't... I don't want to talk about things sometimes because it upsets people, but it's real. Like, it's stuff I've had to go through. I have to walk into an operating room in a whole outfit, the shoe, you know, the covered in that... the whole outfit, and put a thing around my daughter's mouth and put her to sleep. It's horrible. Horrible.
Wait, why do you have to do that?
Well, they let us come in and, you know, put it over her and stand over her and it's okay. It's okay.
Okay.
It's,
so
you know, and when
so
she
scared.
Was a newborn, it was nothing. I mean, it was something, but now she knows. So it's much harder now.
Right.
But she's incredible. You know, they bounce back. It's so, we're so much more fucked up. They say kids, babies and kids heal like 100 times quicker.
Right.
Because they don't have as much fear and history and...
They're not tense.
No. They just are like, when can I go play?
I slipped on the stairs at my in-law's house with my son, who's now 9. I finally told him, by the way. He's not happy with me. And I had jeans on and they were around my heels. So I went like slipping on a banana. Yeah. But I was like at the top of the stairs and he went boom, 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 3 bounces to the ground. And he was like a newborn. Like,
oh, that's so scary.
And I openly just... we were having a party. I just openly like made sure he was okay. My wife grabbed him and I ran upstairs and bawled like
a
baby.
My dad went
like
through that. It's
baby.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe that happened. And I mean, and yeah, that's just that. So I can't,
I know my situation sounds horrific, but I have seen the worst possible.
Right.
I've seen babies die constantly. I've been in the hospital so many times at ICU.
Wow.
And I've seen little babies. I was there when people have been told that their child was gone. So I'm actually, believe it or not, grateful.
Right.
Because there's a cure.
Right.
And she has the best doctor in the world at Columbia Presbyterian. Yeah. So we're very lucky. You know, we also have huge families and everyone's so supportive. And mm-hmm. But it's interesting. I feel like my dad handled it worse. And he's like a macho Trump guy, you know. He was torn apart with the whole thing every time. He's like always the first one there, and
yeah,
it's hard. It's very hard to see, but it's life.
Right. I wasn't trying to relate to you. I was trying to.
Well, that is similar.
I was trying to relate to the feeling of being a parent. Like, it's just,
you have no power. I mean, you have no control.
I hate that when you become a father or a mother. Something just turns on. There's some weird switch inside the human brain that mm-hmm. switches on. And you're like, oh my God, no. I don't want all this worry and all this other stuff. You know
I
what
know.
I mean?
Yeah, you completely change as a person.
Let me ask you. So seeing all that at the hospital, do you believe in God?
Like, yeah, I do. I've always... I really
how do we
do.
Wrap our heads around the God / you know, babies dying thing?
I know it's very hard, but the way that some people have explained it to me is that God gave us certain things and we have taken so much advantage of what's been given to us for free, and this was not the plan of how everything was supposed to go.
Right.
And I feel like we're so gluttonous, and you know, that could have dealt, who knows, maybe chemicals in the air made her heart. I don't know. How does that even
right.
happen? I think she was created that way, but because of other reasons. I don't think God.
Right.
And maybe she was supposed to be given to us because we were the ones who would take care of her the best.
Sure.
I don't know.
We don't. I mean, I think we just simply don't know it. We barely know anything as human
yeah.
beings. I love how cocky we are, but we don't know shit. My dad lost 2 kids, babies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And his first wife of, I think it was a kidney.
Two.
Yeah. I should have like 2 older stepbrothers. And then he also lost his high school sweetheart that he was married to. Then that's the only reason I'm here. My brothers and sisters. So life is kind of strange.
I know. That's what I mean. I don't know why things happen, but
yeah, he didn't. I mean, I talked to him about it later in his life and he's like, He looks at his living 2 lives because he can't imagine losing his high school sweetheart and 2 kids and this and that. But he goes, but if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't have you guys. And I can't imagine my life without you guys. It's so, like, it's just weird.
It is
and
weird.
And confusing.
It's very confusing, but I don't think we can even try to figure it out.
Right. No. But she's doing okay.
But even like when someone ODs, I'm like, that's not God. You
right,
know, that's
right.
not, God didn't put
right.
heroin into that person's arm, you know.
Right, of course.
We've taken on drugs. These were never, I don't think that was all part of the plan.
Right.
In the yeah. beginning of time. But, you know, and also, like, we all go through our own stuff. And, you know, you told me about your father. I'm like, holy shit. You know,
yeah.
I just spoke to my father today.
Right.
And everyone has their thing.
I know. It's.
But she's doing great.
That's good to hear.
She's really, we took her. She was tested and they said it's still moderate leaking.
Right.
She's on medication 2 times a day. It's part of her life. Like,
yeah.
Well, you know, mom, where's my medication? Like, she literally, that's just part of her life.
Right.
So
she doesn't, almost doesn't know any better.
Like she doesn't.
It's part of her.
She knows she has a heart problem, and
Jesus,
and it's really incredible.
And you got two.
And she has an incredible disposition. I think because of it, like,
well, probably
very happy.
Probably because of you and your wife too.
Yeah,
she's lucky to have you guys as parents.
Yeah, we're very loving. That's true. We are. I'm proud of the parent I've been.
Right.
I really am. I'm not proud of a lot of stuff, but I really.
But you're doing
tried.
That right, at least.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I'm trying. Yeah.
Yeah. You. Yeah.
Yeah.
All we can
do
is try.
You do the best you can.
Me and my wife joke, but it's the truth. I had a really weird upbringing. I just want to fuck up my kids in new ways. That's how I look at it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm doing the best I can, but I think even if you're like a perfect parent, something's going to
get. You can't be perfect.
Right. But I don't want to do the same shit to my kids that was done to me. That,
well, I'm the same exact
okay.
way. There's a lot of people that do the same, and then it just
and you
continues.
See it, and you're like, why?
I see it
you
all
know
the
why,
time.
You know how this affects you? Why are you doing this to your kid? It's
I
the
know.
Same exact
it's,
thing.
Well, because these are most people, unfortunately, don't work on themselves.
Right.
So they don't even see that they have an issue.
Yeah.
It's just what they know.
Right.
But it's so hard to watch.
It's
painful.
Of course it is. And then you got two new ones at home?
Yeah, I have two little baby girls.
You guys are crazy.
I have a 13-year-old, a 3.5-year-old, and twin-month-olds. Yeah.
All in the house?
The oldest doesn't live with me, but she lives near me in Plainview, Long Island, and I'm with her all the time.
Right.
She's an actress, God help me. She's a knockout.
Really?
Yeah, all my friends are like, oh my God, who said it to me the other day at the Cellar? It was so inappropriate.
Probably
who
Jim Norton then.
It wasn't Jim Norton, but I could see him saying it.
Of course.
But someone was like, man, if when Zoe's 2 years older, I'm going to rub one. I'm like,
oh,
you cannot
God.
Say that to me. Sean Donnelly was sitting there. He's like, that's so fucked.
Yeah.
But she's 5'4", and she's gorgeous.
Right.
And she just got a speaking part on that show, The Village, and she auditions all the
nice.
Time. And yeah, she got the bug.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's.
So you're not sleeping again.
Well, Danielle stays up through the night, but I was up until like 2 last night feeding and
they're twins.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Like when people were like, "Oh, twin," I'm like, "Yeah, it'll be fine." I was put one down and the other one starts crying. They know. They're complete asshole. Like they know one will be done and just pass out
yeah.
and then the other one's like and it the crying is a lot for me because I have anxiety. That's the only thing that I'm like, ooh, this is not easy
yeah.
to listen to that crying.
You got a lot of anxiety?
I do. Yeah. Cool. I mean, I'm on medication, but I take antidepressant. But, I get physically anxious
about
from, like, loud sounds and screaming. And,
yeah.
You know, when I was been in the hospital with Isabella and I'll hear the, all those sounds, yeah. I get crazy.
You get triggered.
Yeah, I have to like deep breathe and
wow.
Yeah.
What is that from, you think?
I think it's from just not never feeling safe and secure, and my
right.
dad screamed a lot. It just I'm very
up top.
Yeah.
My mom yelled and screamed
oh,
all
my
the time
father
so
was, yeah.
so loud noises drive me nuts.
Yeah.
Know what gets me going?
What?
A vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, I don't love that either.
Because I remember my mom, move your feet.
Yeah, any loud sound.
Oh, to this day, if I hear a vacuum, if they start vacuuming down this hall here, you'll see the hair stand up in the back of my neck.
Because it's like,
it's
loud and aggressive. I know.
Isn't that amazing?
So the crying of two babies and then a 3.5, like, mama, can I, just.
Right.
Sometimes it's.
Too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like being married?
Yes, but it's not easy.
Of course not.
I mean, I'm very honest about that.
Yeah.
It's really hard when you have kids.
Yeah.
It was much easier without kids.
Well, of course.
I mean, it was completely different.
Yeah. I asked that because what I found funny about your family is your parents weren't bothered that you were marrying a woman.
They cared that she's not Jewish.
Yes. Thank you for saying it. Yes. Isn't that the best?
It's the best. It kills on stage, but it's the honest to God truth.
Yeah.
They were like, we love Danielle, but it would have been great if you married, met a nice, she's amazing, but she's not Jewish and it's different.
Right.
And I'm like, you guys are too accepting. Like, you're more accepting than I am.
Right.
And then they literally went to the tasting and they were like, you cannot have pork. And I'm like, I'm marrying a woman. This is already not okay.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if there's a fucking pork chop on
the course. Of course.
And it's so, you know, Jewish people are like that a lot. It becomes very entitled. It's so interesting because her parents would have never said something like that.
Right. No.
Oh, never.
That is so funny.
And they continue to say, you know, you really should bring up your children Jewish. It's just an easy, you know, it's a great community. I'm like, okay, but Danielle is Catholic,
yeah,
and she had them.
Yeah.
And she went to Catholic school. Like, it's important to her. It's not, we can't just discount someone's entire life and say you're Jewish. You know, they can be both. They can learn both.
Yeah.
But they can't get that in their heads. They still.
But they're like, yeah, that's well and good. But.
Yeah, they're still like, can you please?
Could you
just
please
join a temple? Bring her right. for the holidays and bring them for the right. holidays.
Let's start with no Christmas tree. Can we do that at least?
Well, Danielle agreed to no baptism. I did have a problem with that because the church that her parents belong to does not accept our marriage. Does right. not.
That's,
it's not.
That's just
crap. It's not valid to them. It's they just, would. In fact, the. Their priest, like, he couldn't do our wedding, wasn't allowed. So it's like, I'm gonna get my kids baptized at that church.
Right.
No, I'm not doing it.
Right. That's just insane.
Yeah. It is actually ridiculous.
And like you said earlier, like, where you guys don't hold hands on Long Island, I'm amazed by that. But Jessica, I wanted to start by, you know, you're here today because we're promoting your podcast, Relatively Sane.
Well,
I
this
wanted
is very
to start
similar
with that.
To my, meaning like
it is
right. You've listened to them, and it gets very deep with yeah. people, and it's.
I felt like my tweet was a little harsh because Jim Serpico is an old friend of mine, and he reached out. He goes, "You want to talk to Jessica on your podcast?" I'm like, "Yes," because I've been trying to figure out how to, you know, do this. And then you have this podcast you're trying to promote. So he gave me 3 episodes, and I was blown away because I, like I tweeted, I hate podcasts because there's so many
Why
out there.
Why did you feel like it wasn't okay? Because I think it was so honest. I
oh,
hate
really?
Them too.
Okay.
I mean, I literally don't listen to any podcast.
Yeah.
So I've been clueless. I've had to hire someone who does very successful ones to help me because I don't even know what you're supposed to do and not do. I just yeah. wanted to talk to people.
I heard the first 3 episodes, Tim Dillon, mm-hmm. Bonnie McFarlane, and Gary Goldman. They were
yeah.
all great. But the Gary Goldman one, which I told you off mic, was amazing.
Amazing. Because he's so honest.
Yeah,
He's been through hell, and he's honest about it. He's helped so many people, and he's such a brilliant comic.
Yeah. But I think he trusted you.
Because I think they all do. You know, they really.
Because I've heard him open up over the years, but he really opened up for your podcast. I hate the term, but I'm going to say it here. I think he felt like he was in a safe space.
He did.
I hate that safe space crap, but it's
well,
it,
I think
but it works here.
You mean like a friendship that he
yeah,
does
he
feel
knew,
very
like,
close to me, so he
could trust you.
Yeah.
He you aren't going to judge him.
Right.
And,
well, because we talk about stuff a lot, but there's some guys I've asked to do it, and they're like, yeah, I don't want to get into any deep shit. And I did a couple, and they're hysterical, but I don't, I need to just, I think, stick with people who really will get real, because that's what I want to do. That's what I find interesting.
My only advice, and, you know, you're not asking for it, obviously, but, you know, if you get a person like that, that they're just being funny, that's okay. As long as you do enough,
right.
Enough where you're holding to the format, which is, if you don't know, Relatively Sane, they talk about their childhood, some of the stuff they're going through emotionally and mentally and stuff, and it's really good.
Well, you'll see that most people do, but some don't because they're very high profile. Like, you know, Gaffigan didn't get deep about his childhood,
right, but he gave you a great episode, I would assume.
It is. It's great.
Yeah.
We got deep about other stuff. So
okay. Yeah.
It's just.
Why do you think most comics are nuts? Or
oh,
do you think all people are nuts and we just.
I don't think everyone's nuts.
In the comedy community?
I think in the comedy community, 95% are out of our minds.
Yeah.
But such good people. A lot of addicts, some in recovery, some dry, some using. So that's a lot, the big.
Right.
Factor.
Yeah.
And I just think that the real comedy, like the funniest people, come from the most pain.
Right.
I really believe that.
Why is
I've
that?
I've taught some people and I've said, you're too happy to be a comic. And I mean, I know it sounds funny, but I'm like, seriously, you're too okay.
Yeah.
It's not going to work out.
You have to have a weird childhood.
You have to have a real child, and you have to be one of those people who, I think, to be a really good comic, who sees everything.
Right. Yeah.
You know how you walk into a room? Like, I walk into a room, and I see everything.
Do you?
Yes.
What'd you see in us?
I saw...
Besides my hamstring injury.
No, like... I saw, like, two men who look like... men's men, but also there was something much deeper.
Nice.
Like, I can tell when I can
yeah.
go deep with people, and I can tell when they're completely shut off.
Right.
You know?
I'm trying to be more open to doing that.
Well, I feel go like why live? I mean, it's living
yeah.
is to be open.
Right.
But it's hard. It's I think that's much harder for men. Much harder.
Of course.
Especially a macho guy. And I think gay men have a much harder time than lesbians, 100%.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Why is that?
I just think people are more homophobic towards gay men because your guys are supposed to be, you know, a man. And right. you know, with women, it's more hot. And
yeah.
I do a joke. And guys are like, do you guys scissor? Like, I get all those questions.
Well, I don't. It, just thinking about lesbians is, you know,
yeah,
it's sexy. It's hot.
I say it's not what you see in the porn, like women with long nails. Like, oh my God, your fingers feel so, like I'm like right. most lesbian sex is just sitting around crying, eating hummus. It's a lot of crying.
Don't ruin it for us.
Oh no, I've had hot. No.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
All right.
Yeah. Totally.
All right.
But. When you get into a relationship and it's two women, you can imagine your guy, like,
right.
it, you have to becomes purposely little... keep it fret because you can become friends.
Yeah, keep it hot.
It gets very emotional.
I love it. But relatively sane, you know, congratulations because you're doing it
Thank
different.
Thank you. And that was a huge compliment that you
okay,
liked
good.
It because you are who you are and also you've, I mean, whatever, you come from radio, you're famous from that.
Well,
it's a big deal when people like that say things to me.
I'm just annoyed that everyone thinks they could do this.
I know.
I read an article the other day, the 700,000 podcasts.
And when Are you kidding me?
No, and when I was coming up in the business, there was only a few of us. It was Howard Stern, it was Opie and Anthony, it was like Don and Mike and a few
others. I know,
others,
there were really
it.
None. I know.
And now everyone thinks they can do this. It drives me insane. That's why I hate podcasts.
And they can make tons of money.
Right.
From having no talent. I mean,
right.
nothing.
So, but you know, but you're doing it different, and that's it, what's important here.
Well, I always wanted to be like a talk show host, and I love talking to people, and you know, I
and you got that therapy background,
right? And I have such a deep connection to so many comics. I really do.
Right.
I'm very close with a lot of people, so I knew it would be. I'm actually going to ask De Niro to do it.
Nice.
I'm getting Carney Wilson's doing it on,
wow.
and I have a bunch of random people who aren't. I don't want to do just comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love you to do it. Can I interview you?
Just use this.
Okay.
Let's get
I
lazy.
I know, I'll use this one and put relatively sane on
yeah, I don't care. No, I would love to do it. Oh, my God, you sitting down asking me questions? I got one therapy question, then we can wrap
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
So I've been doing therapy for 10 years. What is it with a therapist where you're sitting there and you go, I think it's your turn to talk?
You think it's their turn?
Why don't they talk a lot?
This
what is,
it,
what
the goal
is the what
of
is
everyone
the...
who goes to therapy? If you feel like you need something, you're supposed to ask for it. Part of the technique sometimes is to get you
yeah, I get that.
Bring it up and to ask for it because
I feel way better after I talk. You know, I do therapy once a week, and but then there are times I'm like, I think it's your turn to talk.
I mean, this is not easy to do, but I think you should say that.
But what's the philosophy behind that?
Well, this is the truth. Some therapists talk a lot and some don't say a word ever. And it's, you know.
Ever?
Ever.
Wow, what a great job.
Well, so you don't have any feedback?
No, I do. I was going more for a joke. But because there are.
Because some don't.
Because I understand it.
And some don't. Listen enough.
It puts me in a space where I'm like, oh, all right, I'm working on something here and I'm working it out in my head and I'll have these aha moments like, oh my God. And the whole time she wasn't really guiding me because I think she knew that I was right where I was supposed to be.
Yeah,
at that
you can
moment.
Go through your own process yeah. in the moment.
Yeah.
But if you need something, you really need to ask for it because you're paying
Everyone's
the person.
Knows. So why is that?
Yeah. Could you? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I my mom always says it's like you have to go therapist shopping. You don't just like go and that's the one. I mean, you can, that can happen, but it's important sometimes to see different people.
How about this? I use my mom's therapist.
Well, that's, see, in a way, sometimes I think that works because they know how insane the person is. And you don't have to.
My mom's nuts.
Yeah.
And this therapist called me and said, oh, I'm your mom's therapist, blah, blah, blah. She's trying to work some things out with you. And she wants you to maybe come in with her and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, nope. But I'll come in and talk to you. And then that's how our relationship started. Like,
that's good.
12 years ago. Yeah.
That's so. And she still goes to this person?
Because my mom, she used to, like, you want to talk about therapist shopping? She would shop to find the person that agreed with everything.
Yeah, I know. Is she borderline?
She's got OCD and all sorts of crap.
Yeah.
So she did not want to hear that she could possibly be wrong.
That's why I said, is she borderline? Because it's very common, the things you're saying.
So she would like
that. It's the hardest.
That fucking therapist.
They're always right.
Yeah, and then would go and find someone else that would just simply agree with her. Right. I'm like, well, that's not solving anything.
Yeah, I know people who do that. I know people. I feel like I have some friends who go and it's constantly like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't want to see someone like that.
No, of course
I need
not.
To see someone who's like, you have a big part in this, and you need, because I'm not going to change. I don't want to be a victim.
Right.
And then there's some people who go and lie to therapists. I'm like, why are you paying to lie to someone?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so interesting.
Well, I tap out every once in a while, because then all of a sudden I'll be like, and then when I was 12, I didn't get that 10 speed boy. I'm like, yeah, maybe I should take a break for a little while. You know what I mean? I get to a level
about.
And then I'm like, and she'll even say, she goes, yeah, you know, and then I'll take a month off or whatever, and then we pop back in.
That's good. Sometimes you need a little break.
I think so, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're supposed to allow you to do that, because it is a business, too.
Right.
And they make a shitload of money.
No kidding, they do.
So
I hate when I'm in the middle of a great point, like, well, we gotta hold it right there.
Oh, I watch
because
the
they have
clock
someone
like
else.
I am watching fucking major sports event. Like, oh, I'm like, don't you dare give me 1 minute. Like, it's a fortune.
Right.
Mine is a lot.
Yeah, but they're cutting me off because they have someone in their waiting room. I do a lot of on the phone because she's out
I've done
Long Island.
Right.
At first, I didn't like that, but now it kind of works. So, I'm babbling. I know it. Jessica Kirsten. Did I say it right twice?
Yes.
Yes.
More than twice.
All right. Listen, Relatively Sane is Jessica's podcast, and it's really good. And I'm going to continue listening, you know.
I'm also doing a show weekly at the Comedy Cellar called This Week at the Comedy Cellar on Comedy Central, and that'll be on every Friday.
Great.
Yeah, it's going into its second season.
And what else you want to promote? Don't you have a movie coming out?
I just did a movie with Judd Apatow's movie, Pete Davidson. It was amazing. I played Robert Smigel's wife.
Oh, wow.
It was unreal. Because the two of us played like a Jewish couple.
Yeah.
And I shot guns. It was so much fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
I did.
That's cool.
I'm making a movie with Jim Serpico for FX, a documentary about
that's
female
the one I'm
comics.
Talking about. Yeah. Okay. And what's your angle on that?
That we're not victims. I purposely don't want to be like, it's so, you know, we can't. I want it to be very empowering, and I want people to go see more female comics from seeing the movie.
You're one of the few female comics that have pushed past that. You know,
I am.
You're not being stereotyped as a female comic like many are.
But I'm not. Like, for years I've been like, this joke won't work for men. Like, I'm always thinking it should work for everyone.
Right. Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You're great.
It was a pleasure to meet you, too.
You too.
Kelly Lynn, my friend, said, oh, you're going to love Jessica.
So she's great.
She adores you.
Her husband died.
Yeah. Yeah. She wrote, wait, where is she? I think I said this earlier, but oh, yeah. She wants you to know her husband is still dead.
Yeah. Sometimes she'll text me out of nowhere and be like, I just want you to know my husband's still dead.
And Kelly goes, say that to her. She'll laugh hysterically.
I always laugh.
You're sick, man. Kelly Lynn is the one that she's been on my podcast twice, and we did a lot of viral videos together.
I know. I saw them. They're hysterical.
Yeah. We did the McFarlane that went just incredibly viral and a whole bunch of others. And then she opened up on the podcast about losing her husband, who basically died petting kittens at a Petco.
Just, I didn't know that.
Yeah, pretty much. He was at a Petco and had a heart attack in the aisle. So we kind of named that episode "Dying While Petting Kids." She laughs now about it. I mean, she's got a new guy, and life's good for her. So.
Yeah, that's great, but that's a horrible way to die. I mean,
it's terrible. No, for real, it's terrible. So
who cares? No, I'm joking.
All right. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you. All right. Thanks again. Who cares?